now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is a podcast from The Times. Go to thetimes.co.uk.
Thanks for joining us for another game podcast bonus. And we haven't quite put these out as regularly as we would have, but given your overwhelming response, we're going to do another one. And it's a bit of a melancholy one, though, because Ben Smith, who's been our colleague here, who's worked with us, is leaving The Times. Ben, just to give some context, you'll be joining the BBC, is that right?
I will. I'm joining the BBC after Easter, mainly writing about football, and you may hear me on the odd bit of radio or even maybe a bit of TV in the future.
Wow, thanks to those wonderful broadcasting skills you picked up here at the game. Now, Ben, I wanted to ask you, because you know, we always talked about how we're sort of a privileged category in the sense that, you know, we get paid to watch football and report on it. Is this what you wanted to do when you were a kid?
I wanted to play sport when I was a kid. I wanted to be a footballer. I wanted to be a golfer. I wanted to be a cricketer even at one stage. But
which dream died first?
Football died pretty early for me. I was good. I was a midfielder. I played on the left. I was a decent player, but I wasn't even the best kid in my school, so I had no ambitions that I would ever become a top player. So that one died pretty early. Golf, I was better at golf. I gave that one up at about 16 when Luke Donald, who was in the town along the road from me, kept beating me, and I thought, I've got no chance. Can't beat the kid up the road. I've got no chance of...
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. Yeah, Luke Donald and me had a few junior duels, but he always came out on top. And I,
but were you close to Luke Donald?
He was about 5 shots better than me when we were 16, so you can probably add a 10 to that now, I think. And
Now, if I go on Matthew's side on you and just say... Shouldn't you? Did you put in those 10,000 hours of quality practice?
I didn't. I was an all-rounder, and so I spent a lot of time playing lots of different things. I probably should have singled one down at the end of it, but never did. I played it for the love, and I love playing sport more than anything. And so, journalism wasn't really something I thought of. I remember as a kid writing about the Open Championship was on telly or football was on telly, and I'd write about it as a kid, scribble on a pad and do a little book for my dad. And so I suppose looking back then, it was always something naturally I would end up doing, but it took me a long time to get here.
All right, so you kind of did it as a kid, but you weren't sort of a sick obsessive like I was or Ollie Kay was.
With football? I became an obsessive in my teens about football. I went a lot. I got taken...
Where'd you grow up?
I was born in Glasgow. You can tell by the accent.
Right.
And I grew up just outside London, west of London, in Royal Berkshire, in Maidenhead. And
so what, you said you went to watch a lot of football?
Yeah, I was taking a lot. I mean, my dad has almost no interest in football. He never took me to a game. It wasn't something we did together. But my grandpa played in golf for Scotland. He was a football fanatic, big Glasgow Rangers fan.
So he was capped?
He was capped, yeah. Wow. He saved a penalty.
What was his name?
Morton Buchanan. Played just after the war for Scotland and played for Plymouth Argyle. Saved a penalty from Bill Shankly, he told me. I like to believe that.
I'm assuming Paddy Barclay has many memories of him.
He probably does. I've never spoken to Paddy about it, actually.
Really? It was remarkable.
No. So my grandpa was the one who kind of injected football into me and took me to games. We'd go into London, we'd go to White Hart Lane. My first game was at White Hart Lane. Liverpool beat Spurs 2-1. Chris Waddle scored for Spurs. It was, you know, I loved it, and it's everything that everyone always remembers. It's going to these fantastic stadiums where you walk up through the stairs and you see this pitch, and it's not as green as they are these days, but it was still fantastic things, and the smell of hot dogs and all that stuff, and they got, you know, it was great, great memories, and being with him and hearing his stories, all of which I'm sure were true, was fantastic. And so that relationship built up with him and my teams, and football became a big part of my life as a teenager, really.
I mean, what you remember to from going to ground back then, you know, it's always, I mean, I think like you, I started going to football when the grounds were a lot less striking, or they were just striking because they were big, or obviously they were impressive looking, they were full of people. Did you ever wonder, I mean, one thing always struck me as a kid was when I sort of listened to the attendance and see, you know, there's 30,000 people here. Like, if this were a city, it would be like, you know, bigger than where I live or whatever. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. The memories weren't so much of the action or the pitch or the glamour of it. I don't remember that at all. I remember kind of, it was a dingy, you know, Wire Lane was a dingy place when we would go there, or Loftus Road was, these were kind of dingy grounds, and it was a, you know, it wasn't a kind of the glamour, the clean cut image you see of football these days. It was being in massive crowds of people walking to grounds and walking away from football grounds. That was what you remember, all that stuff around it. Suddenly you're surrounded by more people than you've ever seen in your life in one place, and I suppose that's the kind of stuff that sticks with you.
Now, you're a dad yourself, and in a few years, when you take your kid to a football match, he'll be presumably experiencing something very, very different. I suppose, unless he goes to Millwall or something. Although, to be fair, the new den, I mean, except for the fans, looks pretty antiseptic. Did he lose something, or is it just normal evolution? Do you think he'll experience being a fan in the same way you did?
I think it's different. I think kids, and my son, who's only 12 weeks today, will grow up being surrounded by football in a different way to the way we did. I think the media, the TV coverage is so overwhelming today. The marketing of football is just something completely different to what it was. So going to the ground to be let into this world that you didn't really know about is something's taken away from that, I think, because you see so much of it on the TV now. You see games before you probably go, and of course it'll be special. I mean, I the moment he was born, I thought about the first time I'd take him to a football ground and how special that will be, and buy him a scarf and, you know, and all the rest of it. And I think about that all the time, because that's something every father, I think, probably dreams of. But it probably has lost some of the romance, that magical feeling that you're entering a world that you have no real knowledge of when you go into a football ground, like I did. That has died a little bit, which is a shame.
Now, I'm going to go all social media on you. Some might say that, you know, part of the magic when you first went to the ground is that you're sharing the spectacle with the 20, 30, 40,000 people who are there. There's a whole sort of tribal element, and you're participating in the ritual of, you know, the walking to the ground and all this stuff. And for people who, and I think this day it is the majority of fans, who only experience it football through television, they may congregate virtually on forums, Twitter, possibly Facebook, and live the passion perhaps just as intensely, only differently.
Yeah.
Do we just take this as evolution and maybe reflect on the fact that this way football does reach and does create more of a tribe out of a far greater, a more diffuse group of people? Or is something lost whereby if you never go to a game, you will never really get it?
I think if you never go to the ground of the club you love, you will never really quite get it. But it would be wrong to assume that these thousands and millions of people who congregate online are not just as passionate about their club as the guys who go every week. It's all about opportunity and whether they can get there, you know. I think it's fantastic that football fans have found another way to congregate, but there is that magical special ingredient that if you walk to a ground surrounded by people who all pull in the same direction as you, you can feel it. It's I remember feeling it as a kid, and you can't replace that And it would be a shame to think that lots of people never feel that, because you felt it, I felt it. I hope my boy feels it when we go, and that lifts you up to another level, I think, and it bonds you with a football club in a way you can't ever feel online, I think.
Ben, it's been a privilege working with you, best of luck, and I'm just glad you're not moving that far away.
Thank you, Gav. No, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you all for joining us here on the Game Podcast Bonus.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.